All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, I have brought you to my lake house.
Oh, how nice.
Mm-hmm. My poverty wages make, stretch a real long way in the major city of Portland, Oregon, and I have two homes. One of which is a lake home, and I got a deal on it. That's how I could afford it.
Hmm.
Because this lake has a lady in it.
Oh, okay. So this could either be really good or really bad.
Yeah, that was the thing. That's what it said on the lease, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Sold as is.
The first time. Yeah. Sold as is. Lady as is. So we don't know if it's a good lady, a bad lady, or anything. And I thought, there's lots of different ways of kind of finding out information. Mm-hmm. We have never pulled a sword from a stone or had a sword come out of a lake.
Oh.
There's two legendary Arthurian ways of getting swords we've never done.
Okay. And these swords will tell us what game we're going to play?
Hopefully.
Okay.
So I've got this stone here.
Okay.
I'm going to throw it in the lake. And then I want you to dive down to the bottom while avoiding the lady and pull the sword from it.
Oh, no. I think in the legend.
Like Inside.
So exactly like Inside. I think that the lady in the myth brings the sword to you.
No, yeah, I know.
Oh,
but we don't know what kind of lady this is. Like, she might do that.
Okay.
It's a roll of the dice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'll, do I get, like, any kind of oxygen tank, or am I just supposed to swim to the bottom of this?
It came with this old diving suit. And I'm going to work the bellows.
Okay.
This will provide fresh air that probably, like, quite honestly, smells a little bit like the inside of a bellows.
Yeah, like old rubber. Yeah.
Yeah, like old rubber, kind of wax seals.
Yeah. Is there any other difficult to find sound effect we want to put in here? Like, will a unicorn be roaring while?
I don't think bellows is that hard, man. Like, stop whining. Like, it's just a wheeze. Yeah, bellows will not be too difficult.
Okay.
But it does. There is an iPod shuffle in there that plays the soundtrack to Evita. That's stuck inside the helmet. It's an old diving helmet. So
okay, all right.
It's got an iPod shuffle instead of a regular one.
Mm, okay. So go ahead and throw that rock in, and I'll. So I'm all suited up. Here we go.
Up. There goes rock.
Okay. All right. So I'll be underwater for a little while. Go ahead and just vamp and fill time.
I'm pushing some bellows here. I'm actually, like Cole said to me, told me to fill time, but since he's underwater and doesn't know, I'm just going to look at my phone. I can bellows with one hand. This is my first rodeo. Yeah. Oh, hey, Burt Reynolds died. Oh, weeks ago. Shit. Okay. I don't care. I feel very neutral about that. I guess it's sad for his family. But I don't have a strong feeling about Burt Reynolds. All these people on Facebook who do. That's weird. That's extremely weird. Like, that guy does not like Burt Reynolds. That person just feels like they have to mourn the passing of somebody who they've heard of. It's fucking annoying. Alright. No tugging. And hopefully Cole is... You know, maybe he's found. Oh, okay, there we go. I was thinking maybe you found love.
No, she took off my helmet.
Oh, okay.
She took
maybe
off my...
to find to help give you love.
Yeah, yeah. She wanted to smooch me, but yeah. No, she was all covered in algae and stuff though. And I was like, thank you.
I saw Dana Gould do comedy once, and he's saying how like mermaids are always portrayed as hot, but they're always wet. And that's like not very hot. Like the idea that you're just always kind of like moist all the time, like all of your skin, you know?
Yeah, no, there would definitely be like sores or some kind of infection issues. A lot of pruning, I think, would happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
pretty gross.
Yeah, no. Like if I wanted to curse somebody, obviously the first curse is everything you touch will be sticky.
Sure.
But the second curse is you will always be wet, and not like in the hot, sexy way, but just like in the, you know, ran through the rain.
Even that would be a nightmare eventually.
Oh, I mean, yeah, just again, like, lead to all kinds of issues. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's a nightmare. That's a Wishmaster report for duty. If I've ever heard one, is somebody just being like, man, you know, I wish I had a hot girlfriend who was always wet. And then just like, well, welcome to Yeast Town. You know, population like your girlfriend Panera.
Your girlfriend Panera.
Like,
gross.
Super this.
Yeah. No, so I fought her off with this sword. Let me just clean some of the algae off. No, I can't. The sword is kind of green.
Yeah, what color is that? Oh, it's not algae. It's the sword of green.
Yeah. Oh, green sword.
Green sword. Let's put that into the crime computer.
Yeah. And it's nothing. Turns out Vermilion is a kind of red. It is a red sword.
Oh, shit. Okay. It sounds like it should be green, though, right?
A little bit verdant. Yeah.
Yeah, verdant. Like, it seems like it has the same kind of root word.
Yeah, yeah. And I think on the Game Boy Color, Vermilion Town was green. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, horse shit.
Yeah. Horse shit. No. So, yeah, the algae did come off. It is a Vermilion sword. Red sword. Sword of Vermilion.
Yeah. The game.
Meh.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't like anything we're doing today. I just don't have anything to talk about. Shit, like, yeah, what are you supposed to say about Sword of Vermilion? Other than that, it's got a very, very funny, like, airbrushed boy on the cover of it.
I love the airbrushed boy.
Like, the American cover is very funny. The Japanese cover looks great. I know that's a cliche.
Uh-huh.
And I don't always agree with that. Like, I know that's like a big Twitter thing. Like, every once in a while, somebody will post on Twitter and they're like, look at the Japanese cover of this. It's amazing. And, like, mm-hmm. It looks cool, but it's not that different.
Yeah. Sometimes I like it better when Kirby's angry.
I think Angry Kirby is actually really funny. People get very mad at Angry Kirby, but I think it's actually pretty funny. But this is one where the Japanese cover is so clearly superior and good.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like some kind of like Dark Souls shit. This is After Suffering. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
We play bad games, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are you doing this to us?
Why are you doing this to us? Searching for the person who recommended this or demanded it? Why are you doing this to us? Haken. Why?
Haken.
Why? Haken says, over 300 hours of gameplay. Enjoy.
I did. I played it for 300 hours.
Yeah.
I knew about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Had you played this?
I never played it, but its reputation kind of preceded it. Mm-hmm. Kind of being wrapped up with, being an RPG on a system that was not known for its RPGs. So like, yes. It is mentioned somewhat in the same breath as like the Phantasy Star series. However, yes. I think the Phantasy Star series has had longer legs than,
yes.
This has.
Yeah. Time has been kinder to the Phantasy Star games than Sword of Vermilion.
Yes.
Like, this was something that my Genesis cousin had, cause they were an RPG family. So mm-hmm. they had pretty much all the RPGs for Sega Genesis. And I had a really hard time getting into it then. Mm-hmm. And I was infinitely patient for RPGs. Like, I think this is pretty rough.
Yeah. So one of the reviews I think aptly calls this game salad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the world is called Excalibria.
Excalibria.
Yeah. So it does just feel like a bunch of Western fantasy things in a blender,
mm-hmm.
you know? So yeah, it does feel like game salad.
Yeah.
It's also uncommonly stiff.
Very much so. I thought that was the thing that stood out most to me. So the overworld part of this, or the town view, is incredibly stiff, to the point where I think that it is about as rhythmically pleasing as the original Dragon Warrior.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does the non-contextual button presses.
Yes.
That Dragon Warrior does, which is amazing that this game still does that. Cause going back to old Dragon Warriors, that's probably the biggest bummer
mm-hmm.
is, you know, if you press A in front of someone, you don't talk to them. You bring up a menu where it gives you the option to talk to them.
Right. Right.
You know, and if you stand on stairs, it gives you the option to go downstairs, like that kind of thing.
Yes. There is just a menu item that says stair. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you hit stair, like you might go down some stairs if you happen to be standing over stairs.
Yeah. For context, this came out in Japan in 1989. And like the US, it came out in 1991. So imagine interfacing with a game like it was Dragon Warrior in 1991.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very stiff. And just very like the way you move is very stiff. Like there's no, when you move, you are locked into that direction
mm-hmm.
for slightly too long.
Yeah.
So if you can't change direction very well and you're very wide,
mm-hmm.
And the scale of everything is very kind of strange to make. It's just very blocky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so just very, very, very stiff, but very basic, you know, JRPG, with the difference that the battles, and this sounds like something I would like, are done in like an action form, but it sucks. like, it's not good. Like, when you get into a random encounter, and when you leave, it's in first person. So it's kind of just like a hodgepodge.
Yep.
In first person, when you run into a random encounter, you go into like an action RPG section that are like desperately unfair.
Again, pull out the bingo card. There is no defensive vocabulary.
There's no defensive vocabulary, and you always start out surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you fight slimes, the basic enemy. When you hit one slime on the overfield, you go into a side view or an action RPG view where you're surrounded by like 8 slimes, and they're all converging on you from all directions. And you move like with the same kind of gait as you do in the town. Like, you're very stiff and slow.
Yeah. There's no way to really defend yourself. They will just come up and, you know, plink you down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer.
That's very much a bummer. And so I just picture young Gary. I'm so tired of these turn-based battles. A monkey's paw finger curls down.
Even when I was young, this was worse than turn-based battles. I was way into, you know, I'd rather have the turn-based battles. I probably even still would now, just because this is, you know, if there's no defensive vocabulary, it doesn't really matter that it's an action RPG.
Yeah.
You know, it plays into that, like, I don't want to soapbox about this. I don't want to have two like soapbox episodes in a row, but like, something I started reading reviews of the new Dragon Quest, because I have been out of the news cycle because I moved and then I was hurt and stuff. So I was just like, what is that? And one of the things I can tell that's not for me, and there's something in that I know, like, I just know would bother me. Mm-hmm. Is that the battles take place, you know, you have control over your character, like you can move your characters around, but positioning literally doesn't matter.
Oh god.
Like, you can move a character with, like, somebody on Twitter, I was complaining about it, and somebody on Twitter was like, yeah, I put my character with a shield in front of a weaker character, and the enemy's attack just passed right through them to the weaker character. I'm like, that sucks. Like,
it's literally just a thing for you to fidget with.
It's a thing
to make you feel like you have control. It's the it's the fake steering wheel on the kid's car seat.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's a toy. It's a toy for you to play with while you do like a JRPG battle system. So you can feel like you're maybe doing something more active. Like,
man,
I just know that would bother me. Like, those kind of false complexities,
mm-hmm.
like, really bug me.
Yeah. Or, you know, just the illusion of control. Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's what this feels like. It's like when you get into these battles, like, you're doing something, like, you have to do more complicated button presses
mm-hmm.
to win these battles. But like, if you can't avoid damage and positioning doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, for these things. And if every enemy just kind of moved towards you, which is, in my experience, like, when I played it, like, that's what every enemy did.
Right.
Just walk towards you and try to kill you. Like, it doesn't actually help that it has this other gameplay mode. It's not different.
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like, it's a bit surprising. So this is, I think, one of the first, it was the first console game that Yu Suzuki did.
Mm.
And, you know, Yu Suzuki has kind of a bit of a spotty career, right? Mm-hmm. However, somebody who comes so thoroughly from arcade games, you would think he would have some sense of, like, oh, this just isn't acceptable.
Yeah.
you just can't have a game that has an action component that feels this bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's worth noting, you know, like, when you look at the games that Yu Suzuki has done, for the most part, you know, they are not RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like action games and then Shenmue.
Right.
You know, fighting games, racing games, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shenmue.
Yeah.
Pops in there. So, like, this is the one dalliance in this kind of genre.
Right.
You know, and weirdly, like, the thing that it, you know, that he is best at, or he's most known for, is the thing that's like the worst part of this game.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it's very standard.
Right.
You know, like, the moving around in first person, the town parts just feel very like, getting some, you know, your dying father giving you 200 GP and going and buying a sword and a shield is as basic.
Yeah.
You know, JRPG 101 as it can possibly be.
But the opening of this game is what would result from doing an RPG Maker tutorial.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, this is the game that came with RPG Maker to show you.
Yeah. To show you how to use their scripting language.
Exactly.
Like, here's how to make a character disappear after they die. Here's how to advance the world state. Here's how to unlock doors, stuff like that. Did you get to a boss fight in this?
No,
neither did I. Cause I just got really frustrated with the battles.
I just knew, because I got like several battles in
mm-hmm.
and then I was like, oh, I don't have any healing stuff because I bought a sword and a shield
right.
and took almost all my money. So they want me to hang around the first town and grind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what they want, is me just to wait by the end. I just wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just not the case. Yep. When you go to boss battles, it switches into a different mode again. So mm-hmm. it is not the same kind of brawler sense. It's more of like a side scrolling. It's more of like a side scrolling, not platformer kind of thing, but just a different kind of brawler. Fuck that.
It looks like ActRaiser.
Yeah.
Like the at least visually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things, the best thing about this game to me, like came in the very beginning, because the first thing you have to do, like, you know, you're an orphan, you're raised by Blade. You are the Daywalker Walker.
Yeah.
And he's dying. But the town, it's kind of, they put his house, like it's one of those JRPG towns where there's one residential house that everyone splits and then everyone else, you know, runs a shop.
Yeah.
And his house is kind of hidden away.
Mm-hmm.
And dialogue for the entire town is just locked around, can't you hear your father crying for you? He's dying.
Son.
It's so surreal.
Son.
Like when you're just walking around and everyone in town is saying the same thing about how your father is dying. I was like, I just walked into a Spencer Krug song. Like this is a Sunset Rubdown song. Like I can't find my father. I can't leave town. And everyone I have just says the same thing about my father. Like very, very strange. And that was, I was just like, this is pretty great.
Uh-huh.
And then I found my father and it started sucking.
Yeah. Well, I just love the idea of like this guy who is dying. So, well, I mean, let's just say it this way. He's dying with so little dignity that he's just screaming loud enough for everybody in town to be like, this is the most pressing issue right now.
Yeah. Nobody wants to help him. Like no one's going to do anything about it. He's just, you know, screaming and everybody's just like, he's, you know, public nuisance.
Bring me my son.
So, yeah, I need son. Her son. We're a wife.
Oh no. I've given son harm.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that he's named Blade too, because it is very, again, very just like Western fantasy hodgepodge.
Yeah.
Like that sounds like a cool, like, you know, Aragorn style, like stalker name.
Yeah. And you know, it makes sense that you would need to be able to name your character, right? Because you know, it has to play into every little trope that they want to copy. But Blade is very much just like the generic name that would be given to the hero.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So pretty dire. This came out after Phantasy Star 2, which is like, I know a game I have at least mildly rose colored glasses for, but is mm-hmm. much better.
Yeah.
Than this, like much more interesting. Like just think about like the setting and stuff, even if, you know, that the game has teleporter mazes, like mm-hmm. that sucks, but the setting and kind of, you know, killing Nia and just having this like really dark story where you're a government agent and the government is turning against you. Like the game is extremely ahead of its time.
Yeah.
You know, and very, very neat.
Yeah.
And this, you know, is a extremely pale comparison.
Yeah. Like this is almost like a museum tour of the past.
Yeah.
Like as of the time this came out, like, you know, first person exploration and mazes. Yeah. Why don't we just do like a shitty wizardry in the middle of this?
Yeah.
You know, going around towns, having this context menu. Well, yeah, let's do that. That's like Dragon Quest, right? Like they were so bound to the past because they felt like that was like maybe the formula that that would like get people to recognize that. No, the Genesis is a real system for big boys. We have RPGs too.
Yeah. You can actually, you don't have to just do a greatest hits of RPGs of 4 years ago.
Right.
You know, and have that be. So it's a game that like has a lot, people have a lot of affection for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it is just because of that scarcity.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there just weren't very many JRPGs. So like, you know, and I'm looking, like you look at like the games you may also like
mm-hmm.
thing on GameFAQs, like there are more JRPGs than this on Genesis, but there are even in that, like everyone that they show is better except for perhaps the Fairy Tale Adventure, which is really rough.
Right.
But like all of these are games I played and like, I'm just imagining like, you know, these people like getting their hands on Shadowrun or something.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just like there, or Landstalker or something like that, which like Landstalker is hard to play. It's isometric, but mm-hmm. it's still a much better game.
Yeah.
You know,
one person who disagrees with us is Old School 4.
Yeah. Old School 4 has a strong opinion.
Making very bold claims and offering little to back it up. The title of his review written in 2004 is number one game of all time.
Well, what my favorite thing about Old School 4 is that the opening paragraph of his very short review is that it's the greatest video game of all time. It's been created to perfection. It is one of only two games that would ever give a 10 out of 10 overall rating. He has not reviewed anything else on the site.
Nope.
So I have no idea what that other game is. Like, what is the other thing that this guy, somebody who thinks Sword of Vermillion is one of the only two perfect games?
That's the second biggest red sword I've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wonder about this guy.
Yeah. This isn't the guy who led with the sound. One of my favorite reviews, it was either for this or for Pokemon Dash, was just like the first thing, like, I love this game. And then started like, sound? The sound is amazing in this. Like, no, see, you never start with sound.
Weird thing. The fact section too, if you look at just the people who made facts, it's a real like timestamp. Because their name is Cloud FF72000. Like that is a username right there. Yeah, that's good. Then we got Demon Sword 2, Starfighter 76, and the Silver Knight.
Yeah.
And it's like those are some forum names. Like
very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cloud FF72000 is really good.
I love the Cloud FF7 came in. Oh no, this was Starfighters is biting Cloud FF Stees. So what's happening is back in 2005, Cloud FF, uploaded, let's see here. I want to make sure I get this right. PNG versions of these maps. And then guess what? We've got, they're different. Okay.
It's still pretty weird to be like, I can do better than that.
Yes.
You know, like I bet you the original ones are fine. You know?
But it's just very funny that we have Ruby Cave Map PNG, Ruby Cave Map GIF. I just imagine Starfighters coming in literally April of 2018 and saying,
well, JPEG, motherfucker.
Actually, the .gif format. No.
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to keep updating the file size. I'm going to upload all the sound things as .ogs so no one can play them. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No. We need to make sure that these Genesis maps are Retina ready.
Yeah, I mean that's what they are. If you look at the different maps that they do, one of them is the old ones are done, you know, with the sprite work.
Yeah.
From the game, like handcrafted, you know, lovingly done through screenshots.
Yeah.
And then the new ones are just this guy has done maps before, the Starfighter 76 guy. I've seen this guy's map style before.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe for Phantasy Star 4. I think I maybe use this guy's maps.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because he has a specific style.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2018, April 2018.
That's ridiculous.
Wowie zowie. Yeah. That's something. Yeah. Other than that, there's not as much game fact stuff as maybe I would want.
No.
In this. I expected more because it's kind of a cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's just, you know, a little bit like there's just minor things. Like one of the game facts, the one that Cloud FF72000 does, he has a line in the opening paragraph where he says, I hope my guide lives up to the traditions of writers past. Which I think is a very funny, like, quaint thing to say. Like,
yes.
You know, back when GameFAQs was an honor, you know?
I really don't have an awful lot of, like, you know, trenchant insight about this. I think that it is very funny that this is called Sword of Vermilion, and you also go to Parma. Like, they are just pulling names from Northern Ohio. Like Parma's a suburb of Cleveland. Vermilion is a town on the lake. The final dungeon in this game is Pudding Bay.
Pudding Bay is very funny. Well, and then Parma, I think, is also a planet in Phantasy Star.
Yeah. So again,
Palma, yeah, it's something very similar to that.
Yeah, why would you invite that comparison?
Why would you bite quite that much stees?
Yeah,
you know, lay off the stees. Yeah. The thing I told you I told you this idea that I had a while back and I've gotten mixed reactions to it. Like people have told me this is too far. If I have had too much money, or if I ever have like a lot of disposable income, I think it would be cool to have a replica of the sword from Souls of Darkness made.
Oh yeah.
Like, don't you think it's a fun, like, tchotchke? Like if I had the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd be a sword guy. So there's lots of things to consider, right?
So like, here's the thing. I don't think one sword makes you a sword guy.
How many swords?
Two or more.
Two or more swords is a sword guy?
Yeah.
Sword is normal for like defense. World would be safer if everyone had one.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it would be a little bit too far if you had a sharpened sword in your house.
Yeah. Like a business sword. Right. like a ready sword, like a weapon ready sword.
Right. Like, you know, you're not going to go down and, you know, stab Zed, right?
Yeah.
With the Day Drinker, which that's the name of the sword, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to stab Zed with the Day Drinker. No, I mean, this is a little bit my opinion on amiibos, is my thing. Like, one amiibo, does not a collection make. You can get that. You can have the one. The second you get two, you're an amiibo person, and you're going to have like a whole shelf of them. I think that the gradient is very stark on that.
I gotta say, I have like seven amiibos.
Yeah, see, you're an amiibo guy. That's not a problem, but you know,
no, like they're just little statues. Right, like I like like statues. You know, but it does mean I'm an amiibo guy, but not a sword guy. I mean, having zero swords definitely doesn't make you a sword guy.
No. I think that we just constitutionally cannot have that many sword people running around. Way too many people have zero swords.
It's hard to justify the fact that I really like swords with not wanting to be a guy who likes swords. You know, like having like a sword in my apartment, like that's very rare that like, so whenever I add something to my apartment, I run the like matrices in my head of like bringing a girl over.
Yeah.
You know, cause it's like, wait, is this something I'm embarrassed about? And my house is full of nerd shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have, you know, my bookshelves are, you know, full of gaming books, and I have, you know, upwards of seven or eight amiibos, and I have a bunch of like video game plush things and goofy shit everywhere. Right. So like, I'm not worried about that. I'd rather have somebody know me than not, but a sword might give me pause. And I think that it should give pause to somebody. Like if I went over to somebody's house and they had a sword,
yeah.
Like I'm just like, that does peg them to me. Like, mm-hmm. this, you know, there's a sword.
Yeah.
Like I'm in a room with a sword.
There are a small handful of conclusions that you can jump to, right? Like if I didn't know the story about this one particular sword, you know, the design of this, you know, this one blade, if I did not know this blade's history, then, you know, I would say like, oh, you're some kind of like martial arts fetishist is what I would think. Like,
yeah, or like reenactments or something like that. And that's something too. And when I was younger, I might've been judgy about that.
Mm-hmm.
But like right now, I think I'd just be like, man, tell me about that.
Yeah.
Like I've gotten so like novelty seeking and interested in just weird shit like that, that like, I would love to go on a date with somebody who does sword reenactment shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just so I could just like chat with them about it for a whole evening.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, do an informational interview.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I think that when you see a sword on the wall, the two things that come to mind immediately for me are they're both, you know, bad media. There's the shopping channel, you know, with the sword guys talking about like, oh, it's been folded 1,000 times, blah, blah, blah. Like that just is a very bad look. Also, videos of people doing like different sword katas online. Mm-hmm. Some maybe sometimes fucking up, maybe sometimes not. Like,
yeah,
this is not a sword that I intend to use at all. This is literally just a piece of statue and sculpture that I want to have right here.
Right. You know? And that's, you know, maybe slightly like tasteless, but not actively troubling.
Yeah.
The same way.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I think that one sword you're in the clear, especially a sword that relates to something else that is more to your identity as a, you know, somebody who has written and published a book.
Yeah. I could explain the sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be a storied blade.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So quite literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could choose a weapon, what weapon would you like to have?
Oh, man. I'd say like a flail or a mace.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. I would want to get like, you know, just like the stereotypical flail or mace, and then just like swing it around and develop some kind of exercise regimen that I could sell to people, because I think that there is definitely, that is a different kind of movement and a different kind of strain and resistance than I think a lot of people get down at their Planet Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Different kind of weight, different kind of thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, it would just, I imagine the physicality of that would just be kind of fun.
Oh yeah. I mean, I would definitely put myself in the hospital, but yeah.
now that I'm post-injury, and now I think anything puts you in the hospital pretty much.
Oh yeah.
You know, like it doesn't matter whether it's a flail, a sword, a dagger, you know, any weapon is going to do it.
Right. So just live your goddamn life.
Yeah. Swing whatever weapon you like, you know?
Yeah. But I mean like a flail is just a nunchuck that'll, you know, pierce your skin and cause you to bleed out.
So,
yeah.
I used to have a flail. I bought a flail, like not weapon ready or anything, but also not like totally fake. Like it could hurt somebody from a medieval times. When I was a teen, like when I was a medieval times teen, I was like, for a little while, I was like, I'm going to collect cool weapons. And I bought like a fake jeweled dagger.
Yeah.
They had that just like pretty much for just to like have and think was cool. And then I bought a flail the next year and then I stopped.
That was it.
So, yeah, it was flail and dagger.
I don't, man. So like an ornamental dagger.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I
like
think
if,
that's cool.
If it looks like it was made to be part of a ceremony. Yeah. But also yeah, like an ornamental
like, leave
dagger.
It on a pillow.
Yes. Yeah. Later in a pillow, like in a glass case. But I was gonna say, like a dagger, you don't like a dagger isn't something you display.
No. I guess that you keep that behind your back.
Yeah.
it could be on a display. It could be on a pillow or a display case. Again, if it is specifically for like draining blood,
mm-hmm.
you know, to summon.
Yeah.
You know, if it does something like that. But otherwise, like you know, it is the kind of thing. If it's going to be a business dagger,
mm-hmm.
it's something that's not displayed. It's something you keep under your pillow, like yeah. when you think you're going to get assassinated.
Of course.
You know.
Yeah. So. Yep. So I might amend my answer if I couldn't get my home if I couldn't get my CrossFit my CrossFit variant that is all flails all the time mm-hmm. then just a strange bejeweled curved dagger
would be very cool
would be a good way to go. You know what? Maybe I wear it on a necklace around my neck.
The dagger?
Yeah.
That seems extremely dangerous.
Well, you know,
it's like I can't fall. like if I trip, that's it for me.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think that says a lot about
risk you take.
Yeah, it says a lot about the you know the way in which you choose to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. Whether you're extremely careful, you don't want to end up actually sacrificing yourself.
Yeah,
you know, I accidentally drained myself.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. Oh no. I saw myself.
Please Jewel never say really... I drained myself again.
You're like yeah, drain it. A jewel dagger is a really good answer too. I'm having a very hard time deciding which medieval weapon. Cause if I think about practicality,
mm-hmm.
I have, you know, I hate guns.
Right.
I have no interest in guns. I never want to fire a gun. I never want to see a gun in person.
Right.
I would think I would like to fire a crossbow though.
Ah, shit. A crossbow is a really good answer.
Right.
Yeah.
Like pretty cool. I don't know why that's cool to me. I don't know.
You can go to like a Dick's Sporting Goods and get like a compound crossbow kind of thing. Like
yeah.
What you're talking about is not like a, you don't want like a carbon fiber, you know, just deer slaughter 5,000, like a repeating crossbow. You want like a
deer nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the I Am Legend for deers. Crossbows. Like, yeah.
No, what you want is, you know, something that is, you know, hand hewn from natural materials, right?
Yeah, yeah. I want like a cosplay looking.
Yeah, like you want a bad boy you can put on the ground and crank up.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You want to crank it right. up and let it rip.
Yeah, I want to crank it and drain it. The I have fired. I could do that though. Like to your point, like I've done a bow. I fired a bow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I talked about going to the archery range.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I should do that. Like I'm trying to ramp up dating again, uh-huh. you know, now that I'm moved and I'm whole.
You're no longer bedridden.
Yeah. I'm no longer bedridden, which is an attractive thing.
Yeah.
Ladies, like it's a good thing to put at the top of your profile is that you can walk. So like, that sounds insensitive to people who are like, who can't walk, but like,
right.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the, I should find somebody who wants to go to like an archery range mm-hmm. again, because that was very fun. I would need to wait a little while. I couldn't do it now.
Right.
Because my left arm is definitely yeah. too weak. And I would immediately like pull back with my right arm, pull back the string, and then my left arm, I'd get a wave of numbness, drop the bow, and the entire bow bodily would pull back and break my nose. Like the first move, in one move, I'd be like, I've done this before. Hospital, please. Yeah. And then that would be like the extent of it.
You know? I love it. Okay, you know, it's been a long and arduous recovery process for you. You've come a long way, and your aspirational activity is like the most shoulder intensive thing you could possibly
yeah, exactly.
do.
Like that, I need actual shoulders for, you know. So, I found that the number one way to like it's that's been getting better. Mm-hmm. The numbness, like I managed to beat Penumbra. I managed to do a little bit of typing. But playing ukulele destroys it. This is a way to immediately go back into like my arm is absolutely numb from shoulder to wrist.
Oh yeah, because
in an intense way.
I mean, like, man, if it was a bass and you were just like stretching it out, like oh yeah, yeah. No.
So something about that position just kills me
yeah.
because I was getting bummed out because I hadn't like played music in a long time and just uh-huh. sounded really fun. And it just got me. So
yeah,
it's a bummer.
It is.
Yeah, yeah but it's okay. It's I'm recovering apace.
Yes.
And the, I'm also at that point too. And like, this is not a dark portent of anything, but like all of my prescriptions got refilled like kind of right before this happened. And I'm a responsible person. Like I like having like 12 muscle relaxers just around in case I have a really bad night or something.
Yeah. I don't think muscle relaxers are a thing that anybody gets worried about getting hooked on.
Like, I have Vicodin too,
yeah.
but I'm more careful with that.
Yeah.
And I've done that before. Like I had a wisdom tooth taken out and I ended up with spare Vicodin and took them recreationally over the course of a year and was fine.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty comfortable with my response to that specific, like medically low dose of Tylenol and Vicodin.
Yeah.
But like muscle, like just having that as like a, you know what? I just want to like have a nice relax. I might take a bubble bath and take this pill and just like really, really fucking finger myself, you know,
like I'm just going to really get up there.
Yeah. Really Sex in the City myself here. We're going to drink this box Chardonnay, read a book in a bubble bath on muscle relaxers and just really, you know, unwind after a long week and then get in some flannel pajamas. Yeah. I like having that as an option.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I've done the same thing as well. Mm-hmm. I've kept it over. I know this is a terrible thing, but like, I don't think I've ever finished a course of antibiotics. I think, I think I've always stopped after I felt good.
Yeah.
I know somebody is going to write in and say, oh my gosh, you're making a super bug inside yourself. But no, like I will keep antibiotics around for the next time I get sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, my insurance sucks. And if I can, if I can get two local infections out of one bottle, then yeah, I'll probably do that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no problem with that. Cause like the medical system, like there's lots of problems with our medical shit, but like one of the ways that is one of the least considerable problems with it, like that no one ever talks about because it's not that big a deal, but it still sucks, is that like, I oftentimes need care kind of acutely. Mm-hmm. And everyone says that like, oh, you know, the difference between our healthcare and universal healthcare is they have like week long waiting lists. And it's like, bitch, I have week long waiting lists. Like it takes me forever to get into my doctor.
Yeah.
Like in this land of the free, home of the brave shit, like I cannot get help by the time I need it.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I had a UTI and it went away by the time I could go in.
Jesus.
You know, and it's just like, that's good. It's good that I wasn't sick. Right. Mm-hmm. But it just like, the urgent care or bust,
you know,
like very expensive copay or bust system sucks.
Yeah.
And so like keeping those antibiotics around, like makes tons of sense to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's probably not gonna hurt you. Maybe you're creating some kind of super bug. You probably aren't doing it with the kind of frequency that happens.
No. I throw it away before it expires, but like, you get some antibiotics for a sinus infection. You know, which I get roughly twice a year, you know, and just you take half and then save the other half because like clockwork, whenever the seasons change, I get a sinus infection.
Well, and if you went to the doctor, they're just going to give them to you.
Yes.
You know, so you're not actually the practical effect is not different.
Right.
It's just, you know, getting in trouble. Like it's not like the abject suffering way to like, hey, take medication outside of a doctor's orders. Like I'm not saying that. It's just.
No, I am saying that it's cool and good and it's not against the law.
I am to the degree that like for kind of basic medications, like things you have experience with.
Yeah.
You know, doing that under a doctor's orders exclusively tends to be because, you know, if you don't know what's going on and you don't know how you're going to react to the thing, you know, and if you know, like, you know, your body, there's an element of like self-advocacy.
Yeah.
And stuff that is a part of being an adult and operating within the medical establishment at all.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I think I consider that part of that, like me keeping, you know, keeping these medications around until they expire, I consider to be part of that.
Yeah.
Shit, man. I have, because they don't really expire. And no one concern troll me about this. Like I'm serious. So I do not want to hear about this from anybody. But I have 2 years of my antidepressants from when I was on them, that I've not thrown away. I looked it up. They don't really expire. They're like at like 90% efficacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, if I ever feel like I know what it's like when I'm going into that kind of depression, I would much rather have the option that I've made the decision before. It's not my first rodeo. If I decide that's something I need to do, I'd much rather not have to wait for several weeks of like consultation and stuff to feel better.
Yeah.
That is more dangerous than me keeping this around and just having this as an option to self-medicate.
A medicine that you've been on before that you know how your body reacts.
Yes. And that I stepped off of. Mm-hmm. So if I needed to, I could step onto. Like I have half that was at the full dose of it, which was relatively low. Mm-hmm. And half that was at even the lower dose, the step down dose.
Yeah.
So like I have this modular way to kind of take agency over that. And I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just imagine some people just fucking like pearl clutching to an extreme degree.
Yeah.
Over that. And it's just crazy to me. Like I'm not saying like, you know, I'm not turning into Penn Jillette all of a sudden. I'm not saying all drugs just be legal and everyone can buy them all the time, but right. There is an element of control. Like I feel like once you know like how you're going to react to something, like giving yourself that power, having that agency is not a bad thing at all.
Yeah. Well, especially with antidepressants. So 3 years back, like 2015, when I was having some very, very rough times with this. I hadn't been on antidepressants for several years, you know, but before that, like, it took me weeks to get into the doctor. Like, you know, like I eventually like ended up having to go to my doctor back home that my, you know, that my family went to, because it was the only way to get in with my insurance. You know, and like I had to have somebody drive down and get me and drive me up there, because I was not in any position with my anxiety and my depression to like get behind a wheel. I don't know what my point is with that, but like,
well, it's just another example of where like the consequences of not doing this thing that's transgressive would potentially be worse than doing it.
Yeah. And even you with know? That, like if it was multiple weeks before I could get into a doctor, well, most antidepressants, it takes several weeks for them to even kick in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a, you gotta take care of yourself, man.
Yeah.
Like, and this would be, you know, if I could just, without worrying about, you know, crippling urgent care costs, like I'm not afraid to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
Like this is also a consequence of our totally shitty healthcare system. Like I would go to a doctor if I could just go into urgent care and not have it be expensive. Like when I went in for my shoulder, it wasn't as expensive. Like it wasn't ruinous, you know, but it's like my new living situation, like with my drastic cost of living and rent increase, I am now in a position where like an unexpected several hundred dollar cost is a big deal.
Yes.
You know, I am living like most people in the country where like that is considerable, you know, and not having to worry about that would just be such a big like peace of mind, quality of life, human rights thing.
Yes.
You know, it just feels so fucking inarguable to me. It makes me so mad.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So.
Comedy show. Anywho,
comedy show. Yeah. We got in some sword-based play. Yeah, we got some sword play in. You know?
Yeah.
There's the one thing we're recording today, like, cover a real gamut.
Yes.
Yeah. If people like the show, the best thing they can do is support the entire network at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yes.
And I mean it. That's a huge deal. It is the reason why we're able to keep doing the shows. It's the reason, you know, it's our jobs. You know, got to have a home to record podcasts from.
Yes.
Like it is, it keeps it going. So it is, if you want the spigot to keep going, that is a great thing you can do, and you get cool stuff for it.
Yes.
So
yeah,
we're not asking you to do it for nothing.
Like this episode, as we mentioned before, Hakan demanded that we play Sword of Vermillion.
Yeah. So you can do the same thing. And yes, we didn't talk about Sword of Vermillion that much. That's part of the caveat, you know, but it's still, you know, hopefully fun for you to have that. We do still appreciate the prompts.
Yes.
You know, I wouldn't have had swords on the brain without a Sword of Vermillion.
So, right.
Like a suicide jack. The other thing you can do is rate and review the show. That helps more people learn about it. So if you cannot afford to support us, maybe somebody else can.
Yeah.
And if you can help them learn about the show, then perhaps they will.
Yeah.
It's, you know, always, and we just like people listening as well.
Yeah. It's always fun when somebody introduces themselves as a new listener.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's probably about it.
Think so.
When does this come out?
This comes out, this upcoming Monday on early release. And it comes out on October the 1st, for, the regular folks.
Yeah. So come meet us also at Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
Yeah.
We won't spam that as much in the show as we do on Watch Out for Fireballs, but if you want to come see us, we'll be doing a live Watch Out for Fireballs, but we're still the same people. Yeah. So you can still come and say hi to us if you don't like that show and you like this show.
Yeah. We'll have a table. We're going to be there on October 20th and 21st.
And we'll have a meetup and everything. We're still getting the exact specifics. We will be doing a live Watch Out for Fireballs. You can come watch us. We're doing it about Smash Brothers, specifically the single player experience. Like, well, obviously multiplayer will happen at the booth, and we'll talk about that a little bit, but we're not experts. We're not going to pretend to be. It's going to be how, you know, and I think we're both fans of the series in this weird kind of way that is kind of playing it wrong, you know, by many people's standards. It's, and we're going to kind of talk about that.
It is not just medicines that we go off label for.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We are, if there's one thing you should take from this episode is that we are bad boys
and we don't
follow the rules. So when it comes to Vicodin or Smash Brothers, you cannot tame these wild horses. So,
man. So thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more.
And who is Red Dog?
Yeah.